KNOM Update News. I'm Lorelai Kinnean, and it's 9:02. After being closed for 22 years, the Nome Commercial Chum Salmon Fishery is reopening tonight. That means waters from the Cape Nome Jetty eastward to Topcock Head in the Norton Sound Subdistrict 1 will be open to commercial fishing for 24 hours, starting tonight at 6 o'clock. Scott Kent is with the Department of Fish and Game in Nome. He says the Nome Commercial Chum Salmon Fishery has been closed since 1991 due to low returns. But starting in the mid-2000s, chum runs to the Nome Subdistrict were meeting escapement goals, even providing a surplus for subsistence harvest needs. Seeing the need for a commercial fishery, Kent says the Alaska Board of Fisheries passed regulations in January for the ADFNG to manage it. But Kent says the commercial fishery was not open until now and runs east of Cape Nome exceeded escapement goals.
The forecast was kind of a mixed forecast for this area, and so with a really strong forecast, we could have allowed fishing to occur earlier, but we, based on last year and it's kind of mediocre. We kind of held off here, and then I wanted to also wait until the Western Nome Subdistrict escapements improved, and they have. And it looks like we're going to achieve those as well.
The escapement goal for chum in the Nome Subdistrict is assessed from weir counts on the El Dorado, Snake, and Nome Rivers, as well as from aerial survey estimates in other areas. That goal is 23,000 to 35,000 fish, and Kent says those numbers have been either met or exceeded in 11 of the past 12 years.
Now, some of the drainages west of Cape Nome, like the Snake and the Nome, have struggled in some of those years, though. So the Eastern Nome Subdistrict, the El Dorado, Flambeau, and Bonanza, have been pretty consistently strong, whereas some of the western drainages have not.
Right now, commercial fishing is only allowed east of Cape Nome.
Those runs are bigger over there. There's more harvestable surplus there, and we don't want to have a negative impact on the subsistence uses of chum salmon to the west.
Kent says there are currently 12 active commercial permit holders in the Nome area. He reminds them that restrictions are in place. Gill nets must have a mesh size of 6 inches or less, and nets are limited to 100 fathoms. With short notice of the commercial fishery opening today, Kent says it may be some time before fishing gets going.
It's not going to happen overnight, but we've seen this in other areas where fisheries went away and returned, and they do return. It just takes time to build up the infrastructure and get the interest back and get people geared up.
Again, the commercial salmon fishery directed for chum salmon east of Cape Nome to Topcock Head is open for 24 hours starting today at 6 o'clock this evening. A 24-year-old Minto woman's been charged with first-degree murder in the May 2nd stabbing death of a 26-year-old man. Carlene Charlie appeared in court yesterday in Anchorage in the death of Jordan Baker in Minto. A village health worker found Baker's body at a home in the village about 50 miles northwest of Fairbanks. Trooper Henry Ching writes in court papers that in a secretly recorded telephone call, Charlie admitted to a cousin that she stabbed the man. Ching also wrote that Charlie was covered in blood when investigators found her near the murder scene. He says at the time she blamed a mutual acquaintance for killing Baker. The trooper says a knife was recovered from snow near the home. The Air Force is holding public hearings in the Mat-Su Valley and the Fairbanks area this week on a draft environmental impact statement released last month. The EIS outlines the effects of a proposal to relocate a squadron of F-16s from Eielson Air Force Base to Joint Base Elmendorf-Richardson. Mayors from four communities that could be affected by the move held a press conference in Fairbanks yesterday to reiterate their concerns with the proposal. And even though the relocation could be economically beneficial to the Mat-Su Valley, Anchorage Mayor Dan Sullivan says he's still unsure about the plan. He declined to go on record in support of keeping the 18th Aggressor Squadron at Eielson Air Force Base, but he says he's concerned about the potential costs associated with relocating the aircraft to Joint Base Elmendorf-Richardson.
I'm concerned about the economic impact and the human impact when you've got displaced armed services people who are going to be forced to move. And Anchorage right now is estimated at least 150 homes short of what's required to house those folks. Where are those homes going to come from?
The draft EIS indicates a potential increase in vacancies and unemployment in and around North Pole and Fairbanks. The move could also exacerbate a housing shortage in the Mat-Su Valley. School districts in both regions could be heavily impacted, and subsequent demolition at Eielson may cost the Air Force well more than $150 million. North Pole Mayor Bryce Ward says the proposal simply does not make sense.
Essentially, you have a short-term savings that the Air Force needs to realize right now, and that's one color of money. But the other color of money, which includes the destruction of facilities at Eielson or the moving of the aircraft, is of another color of money. So in the end, you may be saving one color of money, but it might be at the cost of many others.
According to the Air Force, the move could result in a nearly $230 million savings over 5 years, but Bryce Ward says cost savings should not fall entirely on the shoulders of a single Air Force base. Fairbanks North Star Borough Mayor Luke Hopkins says the draft EIS does not paint a complete picture.
Somebody, in my opinion, back in Washington with a green eye shade is looking at just a piece about budgetary numbers.
The Air Force is currently accepting public comments on the draft EIS. A finalized version will be published in the Federal Register in October. A record of decision on the proposal is expected by the end of the year. Alaska's lone U.S. House member has voted with the majority to delay key provisions of the federal health care overhaul. U.S. Representative Don Young, in a statement, called the health care law President Barack Obama's ill-fated attempt at health care reform and, quote, one of the worst bills Congress has ever passed. The Republican said he continues to support the repeal of the law. The House on Wednesday voted largely on party lines to delay by 1 year the so-called employer mandate of the Affordable Care Act. The bill would essentially codify a decision earlier announced by the administration. The House also voted to extend a similar grace period to virtually all Americans who will be required to obtain coverage beginning January 1st. The groundbreaking ceremony for an educational facility in downtown Juneau for the study and sharing of Tlingit, Haida, and Tsimshian cultures has been set. Sea Alaska Heritage Institute says in a release that the ceremony for the Walter Soboloff Center will be held August 1st. The $20 million facility will be named the Walter Soboloff Center after Tlingit leader Dr. Walter Soboloff, who died in 2011. Institute officials say more than $15 million has been raised for the building, and fundraising efforts will continue during construction. A look at the price of gold, up $10.70 an ounce to $1,286.30, an ounce of silver at $19.55, up 16 cents. And Alaska Airlines Flight 151 landed in Nome at 8:48 this morning and is expected to depart to Anchorage on time at 9:40. It's unofficially 50 degrees at the KNOM studios, 10 and a half minutes after 9 o'clock.